Let's continue reading verses 40 through 51 of Matthew chapter 24. Now, in these verses of the Olivet Discourse, the emphasis is on being ready and watchful for the Lord's return. Let's read verses 40 through 44 as we begin our study of this portion of the Olivet Discourse. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Once again, some background notes. You know, it's very important to understand the difference between the rapture and the return to properly understand the Olivet Discourse. The rapture is the coming of the Lord for his bride, the church. The two key passages of Scripture in the New Testament dealing with the rapture are 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Notice that in the rapture, the Lord does not return to the earth to set up his kingdom, but rather the saints are caught up or raptured to meet the Lord in the air. The rapture is the imminent hope of the church. That means it could happen at any time. There are no prophecies that must be fulfilled before the rapture. And the rapture is quick. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says that it is in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The return of the Lord to this earth to set up his kingdom is not the same as the rapture. It comes after the rapture. In fact, there is a 7-year tribulation period between the rapture and the return. Now, there are prophetic signs associated with the Lord's return to this earth, and the return of Israel is the big one. Now, the fact that we already see this sign means that the rapture is that much closer. Thus far in the Olivet Discourse, as laid out before us here in Matthew chapter 24, the return of the Lord to this earth is in view, not the rapture. Verses 29 and 30, once again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is not the rapture. Once again, this is not the rapture, but the return of the Lord to this earth in judgment when he will set up his earthly kingdom. We saw in verses 36 through 39 that this return of the Lord in judgment will be like it was in the days of Noah. The unrighteous will be taken away in judgment, and the righteous, like Noah and his family, will be left on this earth for blessing. So you see, in the context, then, verses 40 and 41 do not refer to the rapture, but to the return of the Lord to this earth in judgment. Verses 40 and 41. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, I know this sounds like a good rapture passage, but in the context, it is a return passage. In other words, the ones that are taken away here are the unbelievers of the tribulation period. The ones who are left are the believers of the tribulation period who are left to inherit the blessings of the kingdom. That is the millennial kingdom of Christ here on this earth. More we could say there. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of the Olivet Discourse. Doctrinal point number one. The Lord will return like a thief in the night. The Lord will return like a thief in the night. Verses 42 through 44. Once again, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Lord will return like a thief in the night. Now, the idea here is not that the Lord is like a thief robbing what doesn't belong to him. No. The idea is that the Lord will return when he's least expected, unless the people are alert. Now, who is the you in these verses? 42 through 44. Therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, and so forth. Who is the you in these verses? Remember, the context of this portion of the Olivet Discourse is the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom, not the rapture. So specifically in the context, the you is the godly remnant during the tribulation period. They are to be alert and ready and watching for the return of the Lord. The people living on the earth at that time, like people today, will not be expecting the return of Christ. And the godly remnant are not to be caught off guard. They are to be alert and watching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." The phrase, "the day of the Lord," here does not refer to the rapture. The day of the Lord has to do with events associated with the return of the Lord to this earth in judgment. Now, it's true that we can make an application of this doctrinal point to ourselves today, just as the tribulation saints must be ready and alert for the return of Christ to this earth. So we should be watching and waiting for the imminent coming of our Lord for his church. It could be at any time. Having said that, we should still differentiate between the rapture and the return. The Lord will return like a thief in the night. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord will reward his true servants who are faithful. The Lord will reward his true servants who are faithful. Verses 45 through 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Olivet Discourse, as presented in the Gospel of Matthew, appears to be divided into three sections. Section one, we could call the Jewish aspect, and it goes from Matthew 24, verse 1 through verse 44, what we've had thus far. Section number two could be called the Christian aspect of the Olivet Discourse, and it starts here in verse 45 and goes right on through chapter 25, verse 30. Section number three, we could call the Gentile aspect, and it runs from verse 31 of Matthew 25 right on to the end of the chapter. This is where we have the judgment of the nations and the separation of the sheep and the goats. It's not applying to the church or the Jews, it's the Gentile nations, all right? Remember that there were no chapters or verses when Matthew wrote his gospel. But clearly, the Olivet Discourse has a threefold structure to it as presented in Matthew. So here in verse 45 of Matthew chapter 24, we begin the second section of the Olivet Discourse, or the so-called Christian section. There are three parables in this section. The parable of the wise and evil servants, here at the end of chapter 24. And then the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And then the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. These three parables obviously go together as a unit. In all three parables, the Lord has gone on a distant journey, and the servants, or virgins, as the case may be, are expected to be faithful. In all three parables, there are the faithful servants and the unfaithful or professing servants. It kind of reminds us of the parable of the wheat and the tares from Matthew chapter 13, doesn't it? In fact, notice from verse 1 of chapter 25, the second parable is specifically labeled a parable of the kingdom of heaven. Remember from our studies of the parables of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven in Matthew is the kingdom in its present form, which is Christendom. Within Christendom, there is the true and the false, the wheat and the tares, the faithful and the unfaithful. This is why these three parables, which obviously go together, are three more parables of the kingdom of heaven and are thus called the Christian section of the Olivet Discourse. Now we see in this parable before us that the wise and faithful servants are rewarded, but the unfaithful servants are cut down and appointed, there in verse 51, and are appointed a portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are not unfaithful believers. No, these were never believers. They are only professing Christians. Notice they are called evil in verse 48 here. And ultimately, they will be consigned to hell. This would never be said of a true believer. True believers are rewarded. The Lord will reward his true servants who are faithful. Practical application. Let your lifestyle be a litmus test. Let your lifestyle be a litmus test. Let me ask you this morning, are you a true believer or only a false professor? Are you looking for a litmus test? Check out your lifestyle. Look at the lifestyle of the unbeliever here in verses 48 and 49. But if that evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, notice the lifestyle of this professing servant. The evil servant says, "The Lord is delaying his coming." The evil servant does not get along with other servants of the master. The evil servant has a loose lifestyle. So examine your lifestyle. Are you a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Or are you only a false professor going through the motions? Let your lifestyle be a litmus test.